I'm thrilled to say that this series of Beyond the Bathroom is sponsored by Skin & Me, the subscription skincare service tailored to provide what your skin needs. Make sure to keep listening for a discount code you won't want to miss. That's for later in the episode. Now on with the show. Hi, I'm Sally Hughes and this is Beyond the Bathroom, where each week I chat to my guests about their relationships with their own appearance. In Beyond the Bathroom, I attempt to get under the skin of my guests' beauty routines and rituals and hope to find out exactly what they see when they look in the mirror. How has their past affected the way they see themselves now? When did they look and feel their best? And how has their relationship with face and body shifted as life has ebbed and flowed? Today's guest is Diane Morgan. Before finding fame, Bolton-born Diane enjoyed a varied career, peeling potatoes, selling tea towels, boxing up worming tablets and working as a dental nurse. Very much the classic journey to TV comedy stardom. Her breakthrough role was Philomena Kunk, the wide-eyed but narrow-brained TV presenter whose success on Charlie Brooker's Weekly Wipe led to her own series. Diane went on to roles in comedies including Motherland and Afterlife before she launched her bonkers creation Mandy onto our screens in 2019. She'd like to tackle a meatier role but has to fend off countless offers to play no-nonsense policewomen. I'd say yes if the right part came along, Diane told The Guardian. Just definitely not a copper, or a podcast for that matter. I'm sick of them. There's too many. Get them off. And yet, for some reason, still here and joining me to go beyond the bathroom is, I'm delighted to say, Diane Morgan. Hello, Diane Morgan.
Well, I was always going to do your podcast, wasn't I, Sally?
I don't mind that you hate podcasts.
No, there's a lot of podcasts, isn't there?
There are a lot of podcasts. Luckily, listening to them is optional.
Yeah.
Do you listen to any ever?
No.
Fair enough.
I tried early on when people started offering me sort of things about dead kiddies. You know, there'd be a murder, a kid's been murdered, sort of. Podcast. They were quite popular.
Well, what was your role on that? Like, as a.
To listen to this.
Oh, you
podcast.
Got into them as a listener.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. People would go, oh, listen to this, it's great. And they were always about police.
Yeah.
You know. And I tried. They were American, weren't they? Those really famous.
Serial, those ones.
I tried those, but I just. Otherwise, it's just chatting, isn't it? You know,
it is just chatting. Are you a radio listener, or do you like to have all senses engaged?
Not really a radio. I'll when I'm cooking. Sometimes I'll have Radio 4 on, but that's it, really. Generally, I don't really listen to music. What do I do? Don't listen to podcasts. Don't listen to music. Rarely watch television.
You're a soulless husk.
YouTube, I think.
YouTube. What do you watch on YouTube?
You're in the bathroom.
Do you really?
Yeah. And I love stuff from the 70s about the supernatural. Things about ball lightning, quicksand.
Are you a believer?
In quicksand?
Well,
apparently. Do you know what? I found out recently that quicksand is bollocks.
Is it?
Yes!
Because you know, when we were kids, how old are you? I think we're roughly the same age, aren't we? I'm 47.
Quicksand era. Yeah, right. I'm on the brink of 47.
So quicksand was very much a thing.
Quicksand was like, beware of quicksand, because it's everywhere.
So true.
It was in every TV show, like Wonder Woman, Tales of the Unexpected. There was all these, like, quicksand was like a big fear.
It was, and spontaneous human combustion.
Yes.
Can you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it was just like a pair of steaming slippers by a fireplace.
Totally, that next to terrifying. A three-bar fire.
Yes.
On a carpet. It was such a huge thing to our generation, wasn't it?
Yes.
The IRA, Cold War and spontaneous human combustion.
Yes. But apparently spontaneous human combustion, that's been explained now, as has quicksand. You can't be sucked into sand. You wouldn't
drown.
No.
So that
was just made up. I couldn't believe it. I know, I was a little bit disappointed.
I genuinely am disappointed. Do you know what a really funny thing happened to me this morning? I like that anybody listening to this now is like, what the hell am I listening to? What is this podcast about? But this morning, a really funny thing happened. I was on the train this morning, and anybody listening may be aware some months later that Kate Moss has launched a beauty and wellness brand this week. And this morning, Kate Moss had an event to which I was invited to go and talk to Kate Moss about the brand. And I said that I couldn't go to Kate Moss because I was seeing you. And anyway, so I posted this morning a picture on my Instagram stories, because I thought this was quite funny that I was the only person in the beauty industry who turned down Kate Moss. It just seemed a bit audacious of me in hindsight. And I posted a picture of you and me at my wedding and me saying, I'm the only person missing Kate Moss, but it's worth it because I'm going to talk to Diane Morgan. And the number of people who messaged me and said, I love her and I would choose her.
Oh,
so many people messaged me and said, I love Diane Morgan so much. I would absolutely choose Diane Morgan over Kate Moss. And no shade on Kate Moss. I love Kate Moss. But honestly, so many people were like, yes, you made the right choice.
I think I'm going to cry.
I know. You're like an icon, a
Kate
beauty
Moss
icon.
Great, isn't she?
I love Kate Moss.
Yeah.
I do.
Heard her speak for decades. And now lately, since the Johnny Depp trial, she's everywhere.
I've interviewed her before and she's a very, she's quite a nervous speaker. She doesn't enjoy speaking and she will admit that.
Yeah.
She doesn't particularly enjoy it. She's absolutely lovely and great, but she doesn't really enjoy talking. So it's quite, it takes you out of yourself a bit when you hear her talk because it's just, she does her communication through visuals, doesn't she?
Yeah.
That's what she does.
But she's got such a great voice to listen to, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's totally
great.
I
watched her the other day going through her Vogue looks.
I watched that.
Did you watch that as well?
It was quite pleasing,
wasn't it?
It was,
wasn't it?
I found it very satisfying.
Yeah.
So loads of people said that they love you and they were like, oh my God, she's a beauty icon. Absolutely love her. Love Mandy. So that's quite interesting because that doesn't happen very much with female comedy performers because people either feel like that's not how they're meant to engage with somebody doing that job. When do you think that you first became aware of how you looked?
Oh.
Were you called pretty as a little girl?
I don't remember being called pretty, no. I remember my mum's uncle when I was like, I don't know, 12, 13, said he was very Welsh, Uncle Geraint. Oh, you're very pretty. I was so shocked that someone had called me pretty because I don't think anyone...
How old were you?
This is like in the psychiatrist chair, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon about 12, 13. But no one had ever... I think maybe I was just really ugly.
I sincerely doubt that.
Well, I should have brought some pictures because I've definitely learned some tricks of the trade.
Have you? From makeup artist?
Yes.
I definitely want to know about that.
But I think it took me till like 40 to go, oh, right, yeah, I definitely look better with a fringe because my forehead's so massive. Look, look how far back it goes here. Like I used to have my hair like that.
Right.
So I look like an egg. And then I thought, oh, I just look so much better with a bit of a fringe. Little things like that, you go, oh, shit, I should have done that 20 years ago.
Yeah. Were you always tall?
Not straight away. I was like baby-sized when I came out.
Well, one would hope that for your mother.
But I suppose for my age, yeah. But here's the thing. When I was at primary school, I was very thin, really thin. And my nickname was Snappy because I looked like I was going to snap.
Yeah.
And so I saved up all my pocket money every week to buy Complan.
Isn't the stuff awful? You get given in hospital to bulk
like
you up.
It's like a powder.
Yeah.
It's like a milkshake.
It was very big in the
vile.
70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Complan.
Yeah.
I get it from... Holland and Barrett, and I'd save up all my money to make myself put on weight, but I could never put on weight.
That's quite sad,
isn't
it?
Isn't it really
sad?
How old
were you?
Primary school age, so
bloody
it
hell.
Was, yeah, they were vile at my primary school. I'd say it was like, I was probably about 9, 10, that kind of age.
And you tried to bulk up with
protein.
Tried
to bulk up. I should have been bench pressing as well, shouldn't I, and stuff like that.
That's so depressing, though, for a little 10-year-old girl to be thinking I'm the wrong shape for people and I need to change that.
Needed to be flatter.
Were your parents aware of Complan?
Yeah.
What did they think?
Why are you buying Complan, Diane, they'd say.
It seems like a terrible waste of money.
Yeah, yeah. Could we be buying comics?
Yeah.
Good, because I'm too thin. Look at me, I'm really thin.
And what would they say?
Oh, you'll get fatter. They said, you know, they didn't try to stop me.
Yeah.
You know.
And what are they like, your parents?
Well, my dad died about 3 years ago.
I'm sorry about that.
And but my mum's very much still with us. She's Welsh. I believe you're Welsh.
I am definitely Welsh.
Fully Welsh or just a bit?
So I was born in Wales. My mother was Welsh. Both my parents are dead. Right. I was born in Wales, raised in Wales, fluent Welsh speaker.
Oh, really? Fluent Welsh?
Yeah. And my mother was Welsh, but my father was English.
Yeah, yeah.
But moved to Wales before I was born.
Right, yeah. I think it's a bit mad, isn't it, in Wales? Especially South Wales.
Like I'm from South, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters, I think.
Yeah.
It's sort of fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Your mum. So she was the Welsh one.
She's the Welsh one.
From South Wales.
Yeah.
Where in South Wales?
Yeah, Aberdare.
Aberdare. Yeah, I know Aberdare.
But then she came over to England, met my dad, stayed in England. Yeah.
So you weren't raised in Wales?
No, but every holiday we'd go to Wales. We never went abroad. We'd go to Wales to see my grandparents.
And was she quite glam, your mum?
I suppose people always said that my parents looked very young. Other people's parents said that they looked very young for their age. They were always shocked.
So the reason I asked that is that women in South Wales, so my mother and my grandmother's generation, women in South Wales are quite turned out.
Mm.
And so it's a thing. I can't speak for North Wales. It's obviously more rural. It's nearer the north of England and all the culture that goes with that. But in South Wales, there's very much a thing where whatever's going on at home, however little money you have or whatever's happening, you put your best face forward.
Yeah. Well, I think I definitely learned how to put makeup on from her. So she would put makeup on me. You know, we would play making up each other's faces. And I love that. The transformation. I couldn't believe it.
Do you still love that now?
Yes.
That part of the process?
My God, the difference it makes. And that some people don't realise the difference it can make. Because if I don't wear any makeup, people think I'm ill. They just do. People always go, oh, you don't need to wear makeup. But, you know, I always go out with makeup on, even
do
if
you?
I'm just walking the dog.
Yeah. Do you?
What would you do then? Mascara. I have to put mascara on. If I don't, I just look so ill, like I've been dug up. Really? And people go, are you all right? I just haven't got any makeup on.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I just got
always.
Makeup on.
So
mascara, like a non-negotiable.
Yeah, especially now because people come up to me and that sometimes they want like a selfie or something. And then I'll be depressed.
Yeah.
Because if they put it on Twitter or something and I'll just look.
So I've learned, so I will go out without makeup on, without giving a shit. I'll go out and get a paper, whatever, don't care. However, I have learned that when I look my absolute worst,
It's true, isn't it?
There was one time.
Like a magnet, they'll come out.
There's one time, this is an absolutely true story. I'd been out with Caitlin Moran and Lauren Laverne and we'd got very, very, very drunk. And I got to Victoria Station and I got myself a Marks and Spencer's cheese and onion sandwich and like a can of Diet Coke. I was so drunk, there were no seats. So I ended up sitting in between carriages on the floor, right, eating a cheese and onion sandwich. And I had all my makeup from yesterday down my face because it was about 1:30 in the morning. And a woman came up to me and she went, are you Sally Hughes?
Oh, no.
And I went,
no, it's not me.
I went, no. And she... No, and she went, it's got SH on your suitcase.
That's
genuinely so that happened to me. Like cheese and onion sandwich stinking of boots and makeup. So I've learnt that it's probably not the best thing for me.
Yeah.
So mascara in case someone stops you for a selfie.
Definitely.
Anything
that would
else?
Be the minimum mascara. Yeah. I'd like to do something with my hair as well. I normally whip it up into a sort of baggy bun.
So I think that like everybody's got a sort of beauty trademark.
Yeah.
And you're the hair, aren't you? And I do think that redheads, it kind of goes to the territory. It's so sort of special and remarkable when someone's got red hair that I think it sort of becomes their trademark.
Oh, right. I've tried other colours. I've been every colour.
Oh, I think you really suit red.
Can't do black.
Mm.
Can't do very dark brown, can't do very pale blonde. I can only do the reds, reddy brown, bright red. It does something to my skin, it sort of lights me up. Without it, I just look, again, like a corpse. Very easily look like a corpse.
So going back to when you were young and you started studying, because you studied acting, didn't you? Because
yeah.
I've interviewed Maxine Peake a few times.
Oh, and
she
you?
Always, yeah, I've interviewed her a few times. She always talks about you
oh.
with such love because you
does.
Kind of did it everything together, didn't you?
Yeah.
You kind of came up together.
Yeah.
And she always says that you're her kind of closest, oldest friend who knows everything about her.
Yeah. I know the where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's got such a cracking face, hasn't
she's
she?
So beautiful, isn't she?
Stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like a really sort of wide set eyes, and like her nose is like the size of one of my nostrils.
Yeah. She's very, very beautiful. She's
yeah.
got quite a unique face, hasn't she?
Yeah.
But you both have, I think. And so going into acting, the pair of you, as much as I think Maxine Peake is absolutely beautiful, she doesn't look like the pretty young actress that nowadays we're used to kind of seeing, and yet you've both become so big. Did you, at that time, were you aware that your looks, your unique looks might go against you, go in your favour, might make you memorable, more suited to some parts than others? What did you think at that time?
I sort of, when I was trying to get into drama school with Maxine, I sort of wanted to look like Withnail. From with now,
yeah,
I was all sort of a bit grungy, a bit like I'd have a little tweed waistcoat on and a long coat, and I didn't want to look attractive, particularly.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I grew up wanting to look like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah,
I thought she was like the most beautiful face, and would watch all her films, thinking, oh my god. If I could have any face, that would be the face.
I mean, it's not bad, is it? That face?
I mean, but it doesn't, it's not really exceptional, but there's something about it that's just lovely.
And also a brilliant comedian, of course.
Yes.
An amazing comedian.
Yeah.
Like one of the most brilliant comedy actresses ever.
Yeah, really great. But at some point I realised that I wasn't going to look like Marilyn Monroe, so I should just let that go. That was quite difficult.
Which you went from Marilyn to, you went from Marilyn to Withnail.
Yeah. Look, forget this. I had big phases and there were never pop groups. I was never into boy bands, never. It would always be like Tony Hancock and Withnail and I'd get big like, this is the best thing ever. And would even sort of start dressing up a bit like them and acting
what, like Tony Hancock?
Yeah, I'd have an Astrid Gate coat. It's weird that though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, I was similar, I suppose. So when you went into drama school, what did you imagine that you would be playing? Did you always want to do comedy? Were you aware at that point that you had funny bones, a funny face?
People had always said, you know, you're funny. And I'd always enjoyed making my parents laugh. And then at 15, I became obsessed with wanting to be a comedy actor. And so when I went to drama school, stupidly, I went to like the head and said, look, I'm not interested in Shakespeare. I don't want to do Chekhov.
Right.
Just want to do, I'm just here to get better at comedy. It's all I want to do. So they immediately put me as like Lady Macbeth. Cast me as Lady Macbeth. And all the other girls were livid, obviously, because they wanted that part and I didn't want
you
it.
You just wanted to be Julie Walters.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to be Julie Walters?
Exactly. But I got some big laughs and I was really proud of that.
As Lady Macbeth?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't do the whole play. We did scenes, I remember. And I thought, I'm going to get a laugh out of this if it kills me.
At what point, whether it was before that or while you were studying, at what point did you realise how absolutely key to your job your face and body were?
I think because I grew up being obsessed with comedy, and especially like Tony Hancock.
Such a physical comic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People call him deadpan, but
he's
the most malleable face.
Yeah.
And the it's all in the eyes and the mouth and the face. Because the camera sort of picks up tiniest little movement, so you hardly have to do anything. But I find it absolutely fascinating, and I love all that.
Would you sit and look in the mirror and just pull funny faces
yeah,
and
I
see
would.
What you could do with
yeah.
your face?
And I'd I'd record myself doing little bits. So I think from that you get a feel of it as well. But for the first few TV jobs you get, you are sort of looking at your face thinking, is that too much? Is it too little? You sort of need to gauge how big you need to be. Because after theatre...
Because people are far away.
Yeah. You have to really scale down massively. But I feel so comfy doing TV that I don't think I could ever go back to doing theatre.
Not very good in the theatre, you see.
No, it's quite boring, isn't it?
Well, I just feel a bit embarrassed in the theatre.
Do you mean watching or...?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't suspend my disbelief when somebody is shouting. And
don't believe you!
And has their back to the person they're talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
I love TV and film because I like sort of naturalistic performances. Yeah. I like to feel like I'm in there. I like to feel a sort of intimacy with it that I can't have in the theatre.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just too emotionally repressed to deal with the kind of grandiosity of the theatre. I can't.
There's a lot of I watched Jerusalem. Everyone banged on about Jerusalem, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I went to see it. There is something really brilliant about Mark Rylance.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look like he's acting. The worst thing is when you get actors that look like they're acting.
Yeah.
I am playing a sailor now.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's totally... He looks like he's not even trying. And because of that, he's really compelling to watch.
Yeah. Can you look at yourself? Can you look at your face performing, watching it back, and find yourself funny, or are you always looking for the issues? Are you looking?
I do occasionally.
Do you?
That's terrible. Yeah.
When was the last time you made yourself laugh? I love that. I'm glad you can do that.
It's very rare because I've got really, really high standards. Like what I think is, did I do well enough? You know, nothing's ever good enough. But occasionally, by accident, I'll hit my own funny spot. I think often Conk will do it. If I'm improvising something and I didn't know that I'd done something, but it worked in the moment, and I know I would never be able to recreate it, and that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned over the years that you've picked up loads of tips and tricks.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain to people, I think, outside of our industry, although our industries are not the same, they're tangentially sort of connected. It's hard to explain to people how much of the kind of heart and soul of everything hair and makeup artists are.
Yeah.
They hear the most.
Oh my God.
They're privy to the most.
Yeah.
They're your kind of touch point, aren't they, on a shoot of any kind.
And it's the whole character, isn't it?
Yeah. So tell me about that process. How important is hair and makeup in your process? So, for example, a kind of completely self-invented, self-made character, like Mandy say, at which point does hair and makeup come into the story for you?
Really, really early on. Because once you feel like you look like that person, it's easier to be that person. If you feel that your hair is right and the makeup's right, it's so important. I don't think I could do it without. Even Conk, which is very minimal. But there's even with Conk, it's she's a non-sexual being. You know, she's like a little girl.
Yeah.
So you could never, you'd never want to see her looking sexy. It would be awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would
she's
just
not
be
skirt,
creepy.
Is she? She's
no. Just, I don't think she's ever taken her coat off.
Yeah.
She's very buttoned up.
Yeah.
You know, it's those little specific things.
And could you see her in the script? Could you see her when you read the script in your head?
No, I had a sort of vague idea that got stronger and stronger the more that it was written. And they would, the writers, would see it and go, oh, I see. Because at first, I would have the same script that Barry Shippey's had.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd use the same script.
Yeah.
But then eventually they discover it's not the same. When Conk swears, it's a bit, so like a little girl swearing. It's not as...
Feels a bit weird.
Feels wrong. And anything too sexual felt wrong for her to say. It was really interesting the way it evolved.
She's guileless, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's completely guileless.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about your own self-created characters? Can you see them as you're sitting down and writing them?
Yeah. It's really important that the hair, the makeup, the clothes. Yeah, it's so important. And that's what's so annoying when you start doing TV and film parts. And the makeup ladies there will do your face and your hair, and you'll think, no, it's not what I had in mind. And then it's really difficult to play the part feeling like your eyebrows are wrong.
Yes.
It's like, I feel right. And you feel so precious going, I don't think I'd have eyebrows like this. And you think, oh God, actors.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. But it's just so
You've
important.
Got another You've one, got, Kat.
Yeah, here we go. Her eyebrows are wrong, you know. But it's so important to have the right, no, she wouldn't wear these shoes.
Yeah.
Because you've got to feel like you're that person.
Yeah.
You know.
The Mandy appearance is so, it's so distinctive. It's such like a pivotal part of that character and that show. It's such physical comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me what that process was in terms of how she looked and what you were going to do with your appearance.
Well, growing up, when Maxine and I would often go to Manchester for the weekend, and there was always in the 90s a woman like that sat in a corner of a pub with her hair.
Yeah.
And the winged, really inked winged eyeliner.
Fag on.
Yeah, fag. Really sort of spidery thin, like she needed some Complan.
Yeah. Yeah. And you thought, I know, that's me one day.
Yeah. So that's sort of like, it was that, you know. And I thought, once I've got the hair and the eyes and the mouth was someone else. The mouth was, can't say who the mouth was because she might listen, but it was someone I knew.
So you should explain for anyone who hasn't seen it. There's a very distinctive mouth situation going on.
And it's not Bell's palsy.
No.
I had someone tweet me going, do you think it's funny to take the piss out of people with Bell's palsy? I'm like, she hasn't got Bell's palsy.
No.
I wouldn't think that that was a funny thing to do. Oh, this will be funny. I'll write a character with Bell's palsy. No.
She's just got an insanely expressive, nervous...
She bites that part of the mouth and is always biting that gum. So it just gives you that shape.
Yeah. What does that feel like to play? I feel
once I start
physically
doing it, I
uncomfortable
can't
watching you for the first 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you? Once I start, I can't stop doing it. And when I go home at the end of the day, I'm still doing it. I can't get out of the habit. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you end up with like blisters on the
inside? I might do. Yeah.
Like a raver.
Yeah.
It's like you've been at an all-night rave and chewed your face
exactly. Yeah.
Did you have a kind of controlling say in who created that look for you? How closely did you work with the team?
No, it was all me. I decided that this is what she would look like.
And who put it together? Who was the hair and makeup?
Me.
What, you did it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And, well, I had a couple of bad experiences with hair and makeup early on.
Right.
Where, like I said, I didn't look like the person I wanted to be, or they would make me look so horrific that people would watch the show and go, what happened to your face?
Yeah.
And so occasionally afterwards on jobs, I'd go, would you mind if I did my own? And they hate that.
they hate you for it.
But it's
We've
so
all run
important.
To the loo on breakfast TV and we
have had a tinker.
I've done that many
times. Yeah. There's a lot of actresses that do that. Go, yeah, it's great, thanks. And then straight to the bathroom for a tinker.
Yeah.
So I a lot of jobs, I just did my own hair and makeup like Joan Collins.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then others are fantastic and you trust them
There are so many who are so clever.
Not great.
Yeah, some of them are just so obsessed with character. But Morag Ross is one of those. She's a film makeup artist, and she does all of Cate Blanchett's films with her. And she's so obsessed with character. She's so nerdy about character. You know, well, I don't think she'd wear that colour lipstick.
Yeah,
and she'll really do like a deep dive.
You sound
dive.
Like an absolute wanker though when you say things like that, and you think people will hate
really
me.
But it's so important. About it.
Yeah,
so. You did all the hair and makeup for that character.
Yeah,
did you
turn
do
up on
well?
Set ready to go as Mandy. I'll be in the car in the morning dressed
right,
as Mandy.
Right, so what's that process then? Tell me what Mandy uses. I want to know what's in Mandy's makeup bag.
It's very difficult.
We're going to put a link to Mandy on streaming in the show notes.
If you want her look.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to find a lipstick that is pearly enough these days.
Yes, a Heather Shimmer by Rimmel.
Heather Shimmer is, I did get Heather Shimmer. Even that was like, wasn't quite.
You want a bit of plum in it.
You want a little bit of plum, exactly.
Yeah.
The inky eyeliner is very important and it shouldn't be. Should look like she's done it.
Of course.
So it should look a bit shit. And that's another bone of contention. It's like, a lot of the time, characters look like they've been done by a makeup artist rather than they've put their own makeup on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand that it obviously, for continuity, you can't do a wibbly eyeliner every single day. But sometimes it looks too immaculate, I think. And you want certain characters to look a bit rough because they've done it themselves.
Absolutely.
And it should look a bit shit. But absolutely. I think it's against everything that the makeup artist has been taught, isn't it, to do it shit.
Yeah.
But I love seeing that.
I do as well.
I love seeing someone look a bit rough.
Yeah.
It's much more interesting.
Yeah. One of my favourite makeup scenes in a film of all time is in, you know, Inna Boudicouf and Jean Seberg is putting her eyeliner on.
Yeah.
And Jean-Paul Belmondo is, I think, on the bed. And she's putting her eyeliner on and it's a bit shit.
Yes.
And she looks so glorious. Like, she looks so luminous and wonderful. And she puts on this slightly wonky eyeliner.
Yeah.
And it's only kind of shocking and subversive when you see it because you realise you don't see it on
anything. It's like when you see Barbara Cartland.
Yeah.
Being interviewed, like an interview from like the 80s or whatever, and one of her lashes is slightly on a wonk, so her eyes are looked at different sort of angles, and it's lovely to watch.
Yeah,
I just love it. One eyelash just drooping down slightly.
Yeah,
little things like that I love for characters. Obviously,
but
not
also
in
on
life.
But also on people.
Yeah,
when you see people, I love watching people do their makeup on the train because I like to see. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I like to see what kind of tricks they've developed on their own for their own face.
Wouldn't it be terrible if you're doing your makeup on the train and you looked across and Sally Hughes was scrutinising You'd be like, oh my God.
It happens to me all the time when I'm doing mine. When I'm doing my
makeup
on the train.
Look over your mirror and you're there.
Yeah. Like holding up scorecards.
I can't understand why men get annoyed at women doing their makeup on the train.
See, I actively enjoy them getting annoyed.
But why would...
Because it's like, what would you rather I sat here watching porn like
you? It's not like brushing... It's not like brushing your teeth, is it?
No. I mean, there are some rules. I don't want people, like, brushing their hair over me.
And
I don't want people filing their nails. That's slightly disgusting.
I've seen a man clip his nails on the tube.
I have also seen nail clipping. It was a woman, but I have also seen that. But anything that sheds anything, I don't want it near me. But if someone's just doing their face, I find it very soothing to watch.
Yeah, I do too.
I quite enjoy.
I do. I try not to look because I don't want to make them self-conscious, but at the same time, it's fascinating.
Yeah, so. I like to see what's in there.
Yeah.
What's in your makeup bag? What are your faves?
Oh, do you know what I'm really enjoying? It's Trini.
So you like that kind of convenient, compact, kind of on the go?
Yes, just a touch.
Yes.
Trini's just
a
touch.
Great, that product.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I also like her. She's got an SPF that's a kind of like, this is what I'll
BFF.
Put on. BFF.
It's a very good product.
Yeah.
I have written about that previously. Very good.
BFF. But I like we were talking on Twitter, weren't we, about things that aren't tested for animals. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing now. And I can't believe that some things are still written about in the Sunday Times or whatever. That are tested on animals, or like it's like you shouldn't be.
It's
recommending something that has been squirted in the eyes of a monkey.
It's
should you? Really, it seems wrong.
It's such a.
I wore this at my wedding. It was squirted in the eyes of a monkey, but my God, I look lovely.
It's such a bonkers and complicated situation. It's one of those things where I understand why people feel really strongly about it. I feel really strongly about it. But most people who feel really strongly about it don't really know what it is. It just sounds like horrible and scary. It's been illegal in Europe for a really, really long time. So nothing here is tested on animals.
Good.
No brands test on animals. The problem problem is that in China, you have to submit your products to the Chinese government, and the Chinese government tests them on animals by law. It's mandatory. So essentially, anything that sells in mainland China has to submit its products to the Chinese government, and they then test them on animals. So all you can do is either boycott brands that sell in China, which is most big brands, because there's a whole infrastructure there.
Well, it's finding out as well which of those
brands. It's finding out, and that's the point. You have to kind of go... That's the thing you need to know. You don't need to try and find out if something is tested on animals here, America, Europe, anywhere else, because it isn't. It's against the law, and most companies had stopped voluntarily way before it was against the law anyway. You need to find out if something is sold in China. Yeah. If something is sold in mainland China, there are some exceptions in terms of the category of products. But for the most part, if something is sold in mainland China... Yeah. And not imported via mail order, like Charlotte Tilbury, for example, sells in China, but it's sent mail order from somewhere else. So it's still cruelty free.
Little tinker.
Yeah. But if there are like counters, infrastructures, staff, factories, that kind of stuff, I mean, it will be tested on animals by the government, by law. So no companies test on animals. The question is, do they continue to sell in China? That's the question you need to ask.
Yeah.
And you opt in or out.
Yeah, exactly. So now I've sort of become obsessed with that and trying to find out whether it's like... And
we can always text me. I can tell you straight away.
Sally, what about this? And this?
That's what my friends do.
Do they? Yeah.
I'm in like, Boots. Oh, here we go. Can I have this?
I tell you what, I do like beauty pie.
Beauty pie's great.
Oh, my God.
And cruelty-free.
Yes, everything's cruelty-free.
Everything is cruelty-free.
But there's a mascara that I'm totally obsessed with.
What, a beauty pie one?
Yes.
Yes, there is a good one. There's a very good brow gel as well from them.
Right, yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah, but this mascara, and I thought, oh my God, it's great. So that's fantastic.
So you're a member?
I'm a member, fully paid up member, yes. And everything I've used has been great so far. But it's all about the base.
It is all about the base.
Yeah.
It is. It's like the biggest piece of real estate on your face.
Yeah.
So you've got to get it right. I think you can fudge the rest.
Other stuff, you know, like I've never found a good face mask. I never go and have a facial because I think now I may as well not bother.
I never go. I go back once a year, even though I could go every week for free. I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
I get impatient.
Yes. And like with, I never get a pedicure, manicure, because I hate the feeling that someone's a little bit lower down than me and buffing my nails. It feels like I've got a slave or something.
Yes, you struggle with nails for that reason, because people are tending to you.
Yes, I could do it myself. I won't get it everywhere. I'm quite good at things like that.
Are you arty?
Yes, I'm very arty.
Are you? Can you draw?
Yeah. I very nearly went to art school, but decided not to at the last minute. But yeah, I still paint and draw. And
do you?
Yeah,
that's why you like makeup. It's such a creative thing.
Yeah. And like I'm saying, that like how you can transform a face. It's like, I find it really interesting.
And will you sit there and enjoy it? When you're putting a face on, will you sit there and enjoy it? Or will it just be like a thing you have to do before you go out?
No. It's sort of relaxing. It's sort of, I find it like it prepares me for whatever I've got coming up. If I feel like the face is right, then I can kind of cope.
Yeah, no.
God, I sound like
John
Collins or someone.
What about food? I'm assuming you've moved on from protein shakes.
Complan. Yeah, the Complan's gone.
Are you a picky eater? Is food important to you?
Well, I'm vegetarian.
So am I.
Yeah.
So when did that happen?
Very gradually. I stopped eating red meat years and years ago. But then chicken went. It's weird how you stop eating meat and then when if you do have a bit, it feels like you're eating meat. It feels like you're eating an animal.
See, I haven't done it.
Yeah.
I've had fish 4 times in 5 years because I've been abroad and had literally no... I'm not eating unless I'm having fish.
Yeah.
Like, you'll sit there with no food unless you order fish. So I've had fish 4 times in 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
But I haven't had meat. It's quite quickly became a non-food.
Yeah.
Did it for you?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It felt really weird. I remember there was a recipe I was going to make that involved lamb neck. And I went to...
just those words. I'm not loving them.
Yeah. Went to the supermarket and there were the lamb necks all wrapped up in cellophane. And I thought, this is absolutely abhorrent. Why? why am I doing this? Is awful. Yeah. There are other things to eat.
Yeah.
And that was it then. That was like, I couldn't believe it sort of didn't occur to me before.
Yeah.
And now I'm just totally, you know, I won't walk away from people that are eating
no,
meat
me
around me.
Does your partner eat meat? My husband
no,
and my kids
no,
do.
No, he's vegetarian as well. But I won't, you know, I'll try not to tell people not to eat meat.
Have you got any other concessions to health? Are you an exerciser?
No, I'm not an exerciser. I don't do anything.
Me neither.
I've got a dog, so I walk the dog. But I mean, that's not really exercise, is it?
No. But you're quite, I don't know, I think you're quite a sort of busy movie person anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm quite a busy movie person. But
I'm hoping that's enough. It's not, is it?
I think it's quite weird with slim people. So you're a slim person, right? I think that's sort of objectively the case. You're a slim person. And I think often slim people are the least healthy people because
I don't have to bother.
Because society's not constantly telling them that they need to exercise in the way that everybody else is constantly shamed and kind of guilt-tripped into doing exercise.
Yeah, it's true.
And so lots of people who are not naturally slim find their love of exercise in a way that I simply have never.
Yeah. And have you ever tried running?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
It looks
horrible.
Oh, God.
It's horrible.
But you've tried it, right? You've tried running.
I think I've tried it maybe. I think I tried it at school. And obviously I've run for the odd bus. And I think once in adulthood I've attempted to take up running, literally for a day. Like, it's horrible.
Every step is pain, isn't it? Like, I can feel my brain rattling around
totally,
in my skull.
Totally.
Everything jangles.
See, I'm convinced running's bad for your body, then. I'm convinced
so too.
It's bad
shin
for your body.
Splints.
Yeah. I can see the appeal in other exercises, but running just looks not good for you.
Yeah. Also, I'm convinced that eventually the face will...
Your face!
I'm pulling at my jowls as I run, pulling them down. And I think that's what happens. It's like every step, like your face has been banged down.
But do you think about that? Do you think about what's going to happen to your face is... You get older, are you like, I'm here for it, bring it on? Or are you like...
Me and Anna Maxwell Martin in Motherland look back at Motherland and go, look at our jawline, look at it. She will even take pictures of her TV screen where both of our jaws look really weak and wobbly.
Yeah.
And go, look at our jawlines.
Yeah.
Look at them. We need to get a lower facelift.
And do you think you'll ever do anything?
I might do. It depends how bad it gets.
Extreme.
I would have no qualms about that.
Because it's tough, I think, when you're an actress. Because on the one hand, you're an actor, you're a female actor, and everybody wants you to be evergreen. Everybody wants you to look fabulous forever. But on the other hand, everybody wants you to be able to act well. Mm. And there's a sweet spot, isn't there? There's a sweet spot where you can still...
Well, I think it's different for comedy actors somehow.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to age, you know, and play characters. That's the great thing, I think. Because I love seeing people looking characterful on TV. I hate that everyone looks like an egg, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see some interesting faces.
Yeah.
And I think, but then again, you know, I might think, Christ, you know, in a few years I'm going to get all this hoiked up.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot, isn't there? If you get the right person. I mean, Olivia Colman gets Botox and talks about it really, really freely, which I think is very generous of her. And her face still moves.
But how does
she
move her eyebrows and stuff?
Well, you just get a really, really good doctor.
Right.
And then also, I suppose Joan Rivers never stopped being funny. And look at Joan.
No, but she couldn't move her face, could she?
No, she was still funny, though.
And it's...
Jennifer Aniston's still funny.
You tend to look the same as everyone else, I think.
Yes, I think that's the thing.
There's a look, isn't there?
If you're a character actress.
Like, do you remember Miss World?
Yeah.
Oh, used to love watching that with my mum.
So much. But it was such a family event, wasn't it, in the 70s and 80s?
But the thing is, all the women look completely different. You get a short one with big ears. She still looked beautiful. You'd get a tall one with, like, googly eyes. She still looked
beautiful. I mean, did you, Diane?
We did a little bit googly, you know. But they'd all look completely different. Now, they all look like Kim Kardashian. Everyone looks like Kim Kardashian. And there's a tendency that we're all sort of, like, being, you know, let's not all look like Kim Kardashian is what I'm saying.
Do you mind? I suspect I know the answer to this. But do you mind... Looking ugly for a character.
Oh, love it. The uglier the better. I want
More
people
fun.
Appalled. I want people feeling sick to their stomach at how hideous. Yes. I think that's why I love like League of Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
You want to see someone
grotesque. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's the joy of Petula Gordino, isn't it? In Dinner Ladies. Like, she's so disgusting. She's like such a horrible, grotesque looking person.
Yeah.
It's not even kind of ugliness, because obviously Julie Walters has just inherently got a beautiful face, but she's so disgusting looking in every possible way. It sort of makes you recoil, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just so funny.
But yet she acts as if she's like beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. But you still, it's funny, you watch yourself on TV and occasionally I'll still think, I wish my mouth was like quarter of an inch higher up on my face. Just that bit. Just
hiked up at the side.
Hiked up here. At the side, definitely, because I've got a misery mouth. But I like the whole thing just lifted up like quarter of an inch, I'd love.
Do you... So is Moving that on? What you see when you look in the mirror, a misery mouth?
Well, you zone
must
in,
like
you
something.
Zone in on your own areas that you think, oh, look at my fucking ears or whatever, don't you?
So, I chopped mine off. I had really big earlobes. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I had huge earlobes. I didn't have sticky out ears. I haven't had them pinned back.
Yeah.
I had massive earlobes. And then when I was in my mid-20s, I was about 23 maybe, I was interviewing a plastic surgeon and I said, oh, the only thing I'd get done is my earlobes. They're absolutely massive, but that's not a thing, is it? And he went, yeah, it's totally a thing. It's a really easy thing. I can do it under local anaesthetic.
No way!
Yeah.
You had your ears lopped off under local anaesthetic?
Yeah, you just sit in a chair. You're just sitting up wide awake.
That's amazing.
I know. They basically treat your earlobe like a cake and they take a massive slice of the cake out and then sew the two sides of the cake back together.
Wow.
That's how they do it.
That's like, I suppose it's a bit like gums, isn't it? You can just lop them off if they're too low down.
Yeah, they were absolutely huge. So what do you like when you look in the mirror?
I quite like I'm happy with my eyes if I can get them set back a little bit. They're a little bit distended, like... you don't see that. You don't see a true vision of how you look when you look in the mirror, do you?
No, you're the wrong way around
you want.
For a start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, but when you see a photo or you on TV or something, you'll see the real you and you think, oh, right. But over years, I've tweaked things, you know, makeup-wise, thinking, oh, I need to, like, that eye is a bit lower and that lip's a bit, you get a bit kind of obsessed. But as I've got older, you get less sort of like you care less.
Totally.
I think,
totally.
Know? I'd much rather be interesting and funny.
Totally. You
as
can't
long
put
as I
your,
don't look haggard.
You can't put your stock in that stuff because it's ephemeral.
Yeah.
Like you can't put your stock in how you look because it goes away. It used to be years ago, if people would stop me, like readers or whatever, at book signings or whatever, they'd say, oh, can we have a picture? And you'd take a picture and they'd show it to you and you'd look at it. Whereas now if people go, do you want to check it? I'm like, no. Like, I don't
Let
need
see.
To see it.
It needs brightening.
Yeah, I don't need to see it. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter. If there's
funny,
just another
it? Everyone's
picture
taking pictures
in the world.
Of themselves constantly now. Yeah. Like, when we were growing up, no one took a picture of themselves.
Thank God nobody had cameras in my youth. Can you imagine?
But like, you know the old Top of the Pops? Do you ever watch those and see the crowd that are around?
I was on it.
Were you?
I was on it. My husband, so we have my husband in common. So my husband is a comedy writer and he wrote a TV Burp for years and years and years. And when we started seeing each other, he was still on TV Burp. And I told him that I'd been in the Top of the Pops crowd. And so because he had access to all the archives because of TV Burp, he found the tape and gave it to me for Christmas.
Oh my God.
Of me next to Nikki Campbell when I was 16.
And how did you look?
Mardy,
yeah.
Really Mardy.
Yeah. Like a cool Mardy.
Yeah, mortified.
Yeah.
Mortified.
Yeah, but everyone does in the crowd. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, and I was wearing a pearl necklace.
Yeah, it's inappropriate.
And a tight black dress. Everyone was wearing black lycra then, as you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, he found it. And I'm right next to Nikki Campbell. They choose you. They choose birds to stand next to, or they did choose,
well,
you know,
funny.
Your young totty to stand next to the DJ. So I was next to him.
But I tell you what, that reminded me of like the first time I started drinking with my friend Zoe when we were to go for our first drink. I think we were either 15. Yeah, we must have been less than 16, something like that. And we decided to go to a pub in Manchester and have a drink. So we needed to make ourselves look older. And because we were obsessed with sort of MGM musicals,
yeah,
we sort of dressed up like Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell.
Oh, you're going to say top hats and canes.
Of course it. But we had like handbags and diamond necklaces and earrings, and we did our hair and everything. And we went to this student bar in the 90s in Manchester and turned up and asked for a pint of lager. And everyone was laughing at us.
Yeah.
We didn't realise.
Because you were just playing dress
up. It's the time of grunge.
Yeah.
And we turned up looking like...
Yeah. Fred and Ginger.
Fred and Ginger.
Jane Russell.
Oh, God.
Are you still really into that old school glamour? Do you still love sitting down and getting lost in that?
Yeah. Look, certain films, they're just great, aren't they? It's escapism. I love just sheer glamour. Love that.
Skin and Me, our brilliant sponsor here on Beyond the Bathroom, is a subscription skincare service tailored to provide exactly what your skin needs. I can vouch personally for both the service and the treatment because I myself have been a paying Skin and Me subscriber for almost 2 years and I wouldn't be without it. It's a personalised service that's tailored for your skin. Skin and Me treats conditions like acne, rosacea and hyperpigmentation, plus it works on more general skin goals like my own. Greater glow, smoother texture, softer fine lines and wrinkles and more. Each month you'll receive a personalised dermatologist-designed solution packed with powerful, scientifically proven active ingredients you can't buy over the counter. Delivered in a recyclable dispenser called the Daily Doser that you twist and click each night to deliver just the right amount of cream required for a nightly application, making sure that you get the correct dose that won't damage your skin barrier. Because Skin and Me are so confident that you'll love it as much as I do, they're offering all Beyond the Bathroom listeners the opportunity to trial their first month of Skin and Me for just £3.50 instead of at the regular cost of £24.99. That includes all the check-ins you want or need, plus reformulations and advice on tap. Skin and Me want happy, healthy skin for everyone. No dermatologist wait lists required. Just use the code SALIHUGHES, SALIHUGHES, at checkout at skinandme.com to redeem the offer. That's SALIHUGHES at skinandme.com. What do you get really lost in? When do you experience flow? It's like what we've been asking people. What's your kind of Skin and Me moment where you feel totally like in your skin and present and lost in a thing?
I think watching a documentary on quicksand in bed with a Twix maybe and a cup of tea.
Are you a single fun size Twix or do you go full?
Oh, I'll go full.
Full.
Absolutely.
Two sticks or go home.
Yeah. 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 Or a Snickers. I'll suck the chocolate off a Snickers.
Will you?
Yeah. A cup of tea, suck the chocolate off, then have the nuts, then chew the caramel off, then eat the nougat. Yes, nougat, not nougat.
Yeah. Kit Kat in layers or biting off the end?
What do you mean, layers?
Kit Kat? You nibble the layers off one by
one. Oh, no, I don't do that.
What, so you'll do that to a Snickers?
Yeah.
But not to a Kit Kat,
well,
which Kit is Kat essentially designed that way.
Kit Kat feels like diet food. It's just wafer mainly,
You've
isn't
taken
it?
all the sugar out, haven't they? You've cut all the sugar out.
I can't have a Mars bar, though. It makes my teeth tingle.
I like a Mars bar if it's freezing cold and cut into slices. I can't eat it like a bar.
Tell you what, it's nice if you melt it down and pour it over ice cream.
Mm.
Oh, it's like fudge.
Mm. Well, Diane Morgan's body is a temple, and I think that really comes across very strongly in this conversation. I wish we could sit here all day and talk about fancy ways.
I've got so much to talk about.
I know. What have we not talked about?
Ghosts.
Do you believe in them?
Oh, I'd love to.
I do not.
Oh, come on.
I do not.
Grow up.
I'm spiritually bankrupt. Somebody once said that to me and it's really stuck
spiritually
with me.
Spiritually bankrupt, Sally Hughes.
Yeah, because I'm not religious. I don't believe in astrology, in psychics, in ghosts, in anything. Mm. I'm useless.
I'll bring you around.
Okay, good. Well, next time you can come back on and talk about the paranormal and the supernatural.
Brilliant.
Diane Morgan, thank you so much for coming Beyond the Bathroom.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode. Please subscribe and follow Beyond the Bathroom wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please leave a rating and a review. And I will see you next time. Bye. Insanity Group.